How the hell did West Ham United get a penalty in their game against Manchester United? Who should be the new Man U manager now that Erik ten Hag has been sacked? Would Jose Mourinho, Gary Neville, or Gareth Southgate be a good fit? And what does pulling the trigger mean in the context of football manager jobs? Hello, Zdenek Lukas here, and this is the Footglish podcast, your ultimate solution for learning English through football. And unless I am mistaken, today is the first time ever on the Footglish podcast that we have two guests at the same time. It's Carl, a returning guest, Carl, who has been here twice already. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Zdenek. Appreciate it.
You know, yeah. Oh, you're always welcome, especially since you are an Arsenal fan. No, in fact, on this podcast, it's not true. On this podcast, you know, all fans are welcome. But also, today, we're joined by your friend, Brian. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me. It's a nice little thing to do.
Lovely. But you are not an Arsenal fan exactly, are you?
I am not. No. I was born in the 90s, so because of that, naturally, I'm a Man United fan for my sins, I would say.
This is amazing timing. What a timing this is, because your manager, Erik ten Hag, as I learned to pronounce it, not ten Hag, ten
nice,
Hag.
Very good.
The Dutch pronunciation. Has just been sacked, literally like a few hours ago. So I'm sure we're going to talk about that 100%. Definitely, Brian, you are the main man today, because it's the main agenda for today is the West Ham Manchester United game. Manchester United, what's going to happen with it? Who is going to be the next manager? But also, we want to hear from Carl as well, what his views are on that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's good to get the non-Man United fan on it too, because you can get very tunnel vision about your own club. So, yeah, I think it's good.
Tell me about it. Yesterday, I was arguing with my Liverpool friend about some sort of disallowed goal. Nobody knows what I'm referring to, Carl, right?
No, don't have a clue. Have not the foggiest.
Never happened.
Anyway, for some reason, I just crumbled under pressure and I admitted it was a foul in the end. I feel really embarrassed about that, Carl. I'm sorry.
Definitely wasn't a foul. Just
definitely wasn't
clear.
A foul.
Never a foul.
Yeah.
seems like Irish sarcasm to me.
Oh no, I actually am serious. I don't think that was a foul at all. It's typical Liverpool, but listen, that's another topic. That could be another focus for another day, I think.
Liverpool, you mean?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say it, but now that you've said it, it's out there, so yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about that West Ham Manchester United game, which I happen to see as well, because I kind of support West Ham actually as my number two team. So interesting game with a really bad end, with a really bad ending for you. So
a bad for football, I think, because that VAR decision was atrocious. It was so bad. Like I can't, there's no words to say. Like, I mean, this, we talk about VAR every single week and it's all like, what's a clanger? What's a serious error? It never should have been brought back. It was never, the referee didn't give it for a reason. And, the only upside is, I suppose you could say, is it's probably made the decision now to get rid of the manager. But in terms of the game, it was disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful, yeah.
You needed that. You needed that for the manager to be sacked. Otherwise, he would hang on like for ages. Well, yeah. I'll have you know that we need VAR. Otherwise, there would be no podcasts and YouTube channels.
There'd be nothing to talk about.
Yes, exactly. No controversy, yeah. You know, social media needed to all that, you know, so that's why it was created probably. But of course, you are referring to what happened at the end of the game. But Carl, tell me, when you saw the result, like, did you watch the game by any chance? I assume you didn't.
I didn't watch the full game, no. I caught parts of it, mainly walking by the room where Brian was watching it and hearing the reaction coming from the room. I thought it best just to leave him be with his emotions.
So this is better than watching the score live on livescore.com or Live Sports, right? Because this is with emotion as well. It's
absolutely
perfect.
You get that added bit of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But definitely my gut reaction when I saw back when Brian showed me the highlights afterwards while we watched them back, and my initial reaction was that it seemed like a very soft, like very, very soft penalty to give. One of those ones where if it was given for you, you'd absolutely be delighted and you'd take it, but you'd kind of go, "Whew, oh my God, I can't believe we got away with that one," you know?
Yeah, no. Okay, we start from there. Why not? So basically, this was the deciding moment of the game. It was 1-1. Was it around the 85th minute or something along those lines?
87th, I think. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So it was the, I can't remember his name now, but the West Ham United substitute. What was his name?
Danny Ings.
Was allegedly fouled in the box. And as someone who really likes West Ham and supports West Ham, there's no doubt that this was not a penalty. I think all West Ham fans, they just couldn't believe like what sort of gift they were given by the referees. And the referee actually didn't blow the whistle, right, Brian? It was VAR. Was it?
Yeah.
I think it was Mark Oliver as well.
Typical Michael Oliver. And I don't need to tell Arsenal fans how questionable Mr. Oliver can be. But I think as well, the decision or the referee was called maybe three. I might be wrong now, but I think it was something like 3 minutes after. You're kind of saying like, how can it take that long? And if you're debating it that much, then clearly by the letter of the law, it's not a clear and obvious error. So,
exactly. That's the phrase, right? Key and obvious error.
Yeah.
Clear and obvious error. Same thing. Clear and obvious error, right? So what happened to that? What happened with that, Carl? Where did that go?
It seems like it kind of comes and goes whenever it pleases. And that, you know, the AR kind of rears its head whenever maybe the attention hasn't been on it for a while.
Yeah. So Jared Bowen took the penalty and he scored and West Ham won it. But you actually did start the game really well in the first
incredible.
Half. You were on the front foot and you dominated the possession. You had way more chances. I think you missed several sitters. You hit the crossbar twice.
Yeah. But it just sums up Man United at the moment. You know, like, I mean, I saw a stat today. They're top... actually with Spurs, for the most missed clear chances. I don't know how they qualify that stat, but 22 times they've missed clear chances, whatever they are. But I mean, like, they should have been about 5 or 6 up at halftime. West Ham were abysmal. They were so bad.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, it actually played well. They actually did play well in the first half. But like you said, hit the crossbar twice. Dalot missed an open goal. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things, like when something goes wrong, it's just everything goes wrong. But then to put it into context, then at halftime, one manager saw something going wrong, made changes, it worked. The other manager did nothing. You know, he kind of thought it went well, so why won't it continue to go well? And ultimately then West Ham were better team in second half. Overall, and with the home support and everything, it's
and
inevitable you're going to
with the VAR support as well.
Well, you know, I'm trying not to go too hard on that, but yes, I mean, absolutely.
This is actually clear and obvious. Yeah, this one is clear and obvious to me. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, with all the replays we have now, it's just a nonsensical penalty. Like it just makes. okay, even if it is, why was it given when the ref didn't give it? Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No sense.
Yeah. They just, I think they've made it too difficult on themselves now, because it's meant to be the referee's call, which is fine. But then if it's a 50-50 decision, then it should just go to the referee's call. And they do that sometimes, but not all the time.
Very rarely, yeah. I would say. It's like 4% of time. I think there must be some stats, and I have seen it like twice. Yeah. And I have seen so many games with VAR decisions like that. It seemed like that ref, the pressure got to him. I could see it on his face. He just wasn't sure with himself anymore. Like, you just have to stick with what you believe in. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. Carl, tell me, with all those missed opportunities, do you think that it's now like in Manchester United players' heads, really? Like, it's a confidence issue.
Certainly, I think confidence, a lot of the players definitely don't lack for confidence. I mean, you look at some of the way that they kind of nonchalantly approach the game. Maybe it is a little bit of lack of confidence in some of them. Like, you look at the likes of Marcus Rashford, who's just kind of a shell of his former self. Garnacho obviously looks quite like a bright spark, but for someone like Rasmus Højlund, who just seems like he's almost like on an island up top sometimes, the only person there to support him ever is Bruno Fernandes. It's kind of, it's something you can definitely point to. But when there's so little confidence, like in the manager, and there's so little confidence with results and things like that, it's bound to kind of breed the lack of confidence throughout the squad as well.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the table, at the league table. Yeah.
So do we have to?
I'll make it quick, I promise. I don't want to torture you too much. And
no,
Arsenal,
okay.
and your friend Carl as well. Because look at this now. So Manchester City are back at the top of the league because, of course, the Liverpool-Arsenal game ended in a 2-2 draw. So that's exactly what City needed. Aston Villa on 18 points. Same number of points as Arsenal. Then we have Chelsea right behind, even Brighton, Nottingham Forest. There's a bit of a gap, Tottenham. But where is Manchester United? In the 14th place. Wow.
Crazy.
It's unheard of. Crazy. It's unheard of.
It's unbelievable. West Ham on the same amount of points, but a better goal difference, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, if someone told you that after 9 games, if someone told you at the beginning of the season that after 9 games you would be in the 14th place on 11 points, would you have believed them?
No, and truthfully, I was actually quite optimistic going into the season. I thought the recruitment was good during the summer, but in and out, and I suppose the fact that we actually had a fully fit squad as well. And you know, we'll get onto it, I'm sure. But like, a lot of people would have criticized the manager last season with the talk about the injuries. But the fact of it was that the amount of injuries they had to deal with last season, you could forgive a certain amount of it. But he went into this season with everyone but maybe Luke Shaw and Lenny Yarrow. Aside from that, he had a full squad. So, you know, I've been dumbfounded, to be honest. And like, even in the Community Shield, they played quite well. Like, they lost the City, but they played well. So I kind of thought building blocks, you know, we'll get better. But it's just been I can't put any explanation on it. It's just I personally, I think he lost the dressing room a while ago. And it's just finally kind of coming to fruition now.
Maybe that FA Cup win, which was significant in my opinion, it was like paper over cracks or something like that.
For sure. So
it's unfortunate. And you know what's interesting? That actually West Ham United, their fans were really excited about the season. They thought in the preseason they got really good new players, and they rated their their transfer window as 10 out of 10, a lot of them, you know. So from that point of view, you kind of in the same boat, you know, the same number of points, really disappointing start to the season.
I guess
the new West Ham manager, Lopetegu, he at least hasn't been there for a long time, so he still has time to prove himself, I suppose.
But I suppose, again, Ten Hag couldn't say the same because it's his third season, and how many of the starting 11 now are either his transfers or players he's brought through? I'd say probably 8 of them, 9 of them maybe. So, you know, like eventually you just have to kind of take the criticism, because unfortunately, like, it's just been, you know, you can say what you want about the players, but like the manager just hasn't unfortunately done enough. And that's why today has happened the way it's happened.
Yeah. Well, Carl, let me get you involved. Let's have a bit of banter. So as an Arsenal fan, do you think the fun is over now when Ten Hag got sacked? Do you think that's it? We won't have any more sort of teasing of United, because this has been hilarious. Let's be honest. They are this massive club with such huge fan base. Guys, I live in Vietnam for a long, long time of the year now. I'm actually heading back this week. And in Vietnam, like, people support Manchester United more than they support Arsenal, that's for sure. So is this fun over now, Carlo? What do you think?
It's an interesting one, because on the one hand, I do, like, I found myself kind of rooting for Erik ten Hag a little bit, just because he came across very well in the beginning, and, you know, he seemed like a kind of guy that you could kind of get behind, which is very odd for a Manchester United manager. I mean, you look back at the likes of Van Gaal and Mourinho, and you think, good Lord, there's no way I can find any redeeming qualities in these guys. Yeah, I guess, I suppose, if you want to call it fun, definitely the fun, this part of the fun, let's say, is over. It's going to be interesting to see what goes on with Van Nistelrooy obviously taking over, and how long that will last, and what he will do. No doubt will add a bit of pep in the step of some of the players and get a bit of a boost for them. But yeah, it was kind of nice after so many, many years of being the butt of the joke to finally have the tables turned a little bit, and, you know, for them to see what it was like for us, you know.
Okay, well, let me add some fuel to the fire, yeah? Brian, everybody started to feel sorry for United now, right? Isn't that worse than making fun of United? Isn't that worse than pulling your leg, as banter has always been part of football, right? We always
Absolutely.
Make fun of each other, of your mates. But when you start feeling sorry for someone, that's really bad, right, Brian? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it's very comparable to, you know, Arsenal's streak, let's say, when the Emirates was being built and they had no money for transfers. So now, granted, they were still getting top four, so it wasn't nearly as bad. But and then, you know, you think of the Liverpool teams kind of 2010 to kind of when they had lads like, you know, Bruno Giroud and Jay Spearing in their midfield and all. And like you said, it's not even like banter anymore. It's just pity. Like, and it is. And I think at this stage, it's kind of like making fun of Man United. Like,
it doesn't work anymore.
It can't get worse. It sounds dramatic, but it can't get worse.
It's equivalent to kicking someone who is already lying on the floor, you know, like that's
much
what it feels like to me, you know. So, well, let's talk about potential replacements of Erik ten Hag. I can't say his name anymore.
Yeah, you won't need to. You won't need to. He's gone now, so.
Yeah. That's true. So you might get an interim manager or a caretaker. I don't know, but
yeah,
I'm. Let's play this game now. I've written down a few interesting names, and I want to know your reaction and possibly even Kyle's to these names. Yeah, some of them, of course, are a bit of joke again, but some of them might be more serious. So, okay, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Would you take him back?
No, is the short answer. Like, what he did for the time, like, he provided moments for sure. I think he held himself very well. He held himself a lot better than Ten Hag did, but he just doesn't have the kind of the tactical quality that you need to be competing at the top level. So I think we were very much a counter-attacking team under him, and it was great at times, but you're never going to win the league like that. So there's no point in just putting in another person who's temporary. But I do love Ole. I'll always love Ole. What a guy.
Well, I actually think if you look at all the managers that succeeded the one and only Sir Alex Ferguson, I think Ole is number two, in my opinion, in Manchester United's fans' eyes. Yeah. Would you agree with that, Carl?
Oh my God, I think I think in terms of emotions and the emotions that certainly were invoked while he was there, definitely Ole would have provided that. But I mean, it's hard to knock like Mourinho and how well he did. Now he might have been a nuisance and very annoying from a United fans' perspective, maybe. But I mean, you can't argue with results and, you know, the way that he finished with the, like, there was a second place and he had, I think, was he quoted saying that Chris Smalling and Phil Jones is a starting centre backs and he finished second place in the league. So, and a Europa Not League said. Title as well, you know? So.
Sorry, that was Ole or Mourinho with the,
Mourinho.
I can't remember.
Mourinho was.
So Mourinho, would you take Mourinho back? You would have to buy him out from Fenerbahce.
No, God, no. Like, look, like, Jose's record speaks for itself. Like, what he's done in the game is incredible, but
he's the special one.
He was, but I think football's moved on from how his philosophy, and we've seen it now. We've seen it at United. We've seen it at Spurs. We've seen it at Roma. Like, you know, he can get teams going, but he's great for a season. He gets a new contract, and then things go to rubbish. That's just the same thing every time. So
yeah, I agree with you. What about Zinedine Zidane?
No. I've spoke about this a long time. I just think Zidane, what he did at Real Madrid will never be repeated, but Real Madrid's just a different club, and the fact that he's Zidane, it just, they go hand in hand, and I don't think it would translate, and I think the Premier League is on a different level to La Liga. And yeah, I think the two jobs that Zidane can do are Real Madrid and the France job. No. And aside from that, I don't think he'll work anywhere else. And that's just me, but I don't think so.
Carl seems to be nodding, so
No, I would agree. No. I think that he had a very special relationship with the likes of Ronaldo and Benzema and those guys, and that kind of definitely helped him, because, like, fair enough, you could say that tactically he did well, but I don't think anyone was under any illusions that he was a tactical mastermind. And he was definitely blessed with the crop of players that he had at the time in Madrid. So, yeah, I would definitely agree.
To be honest, you and I could be managers at that time, and Real Madrid would have won the title, and the Champions League as well. So,
yeah. Definitely.
Not sure if definitely, but most likely.
Hopefully.
98%. 98%.
98.5, I would say.
Yeah.
All right, how about someone like David Moyes?
Again, I think I actually really like David Moyes, I have to say, and I think the whatever the 7 months he had the first time doesn't reflect him as a manager, but I just think it's too big of a job. And again, I think in the will he do the thing to win the game to outdo the other team? No. Can he maybe stop the other team? Sure, but like you want the tacticians, you want the front foot managers that are going to play attacking football, and that's just not him, I don't think, personally.
He won't excite fans, I think.
No.
He did so well at West Ham, but the fans still ousted him out, you know.
Yeah. So, but that's football, you know. Everyone he'll stabilize the club, but I don't think it'll bring it where he wanted to go.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, then we have got, of course, Gary Neville, who's a legend, who's a Manchester United legend, hasn't got much coaching experience. Where was he? At Valencia?
Yeah, for 4 months. So
4 months he did really poorly, but he's an excellent pundit. Would you give him a chance, Brian?
I think in his own words, he'll never be a manager again. I think it's a different skill set, you know, because being a manager, it's not just picking a team, you know, it's there's so much involved. There's you know, you have to deal with the media so regularly. And I just think personally, I think the Man United job is one of the three big ones in world football, with Barcelona, Real Madrid. The pressure and the scrutiny that you face, I think, is just unmatched. So you need someone that would kind of flourish in those conditions. And I love Gary Neville, but no, not as a manager, no.
Well, it would be funny, wouldn't it, Carl?
Well, it would definitely continue that streak of fun times for other fans, I think. Yes, because Gary Neville's a source of memes just in from his punditry alone. So, can only imagine what would happen if he took over the job.
Yeah, I like to listen to Gary Neville. He's very opinionated sometimes, but I like it. You know, I like authentic people who stand by what they say, and he's good at what he's doing, in my humble opinion. I know some people don't like him, but I do. And well, then there is, of course, the ex-England manager, Gareth Southgate. How about him? I think, this is my theory, Brian, yeah? I think after Erik ten Hag, Manchester United players, of all things, they need an arm around their shoulder. And I really, now I'm not joking. And right now, no, this is not pity, or I really think that that's what's happening here, because they don't have any confidence. And I think it would help someone like Ancelotti type, you know, someone like that, because I think Ralf Rangnick was probably a disciplinarian, you know, with a whip in a training session. Not sure.
It's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, I was going to say, please don't compare Carlo Ancelotti, one of the greatest managers to ever grace the game, and Gareth Southgate. Look,
well, he's a nice guy too, right? They're both nice guys, right?
Listen, me and Carl are nice guys too, but that's irrelevant in this conversation. Like, you know, it's
you know what I mean, though. Like,
yeah,
you don't want someone who's gonna shout at players. Like,
yeah,
you need someone who's gonna instill that confidence back in them. And who is that gonna be? Southgate. Southgate is free. Come on.
Play style, just watch England in the Euros. That's all I need to say. I mean, he's too cautious. Like, and it's great having players feeling good about themselves, but that won't mean anything when they're getting beaten by Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City by four or five goals.
He had results, though. Like, I still don't get it, because he got England into the final. Was it twice, right, in the Euros? Yeah. Then there was a semi-final, World Cup semi-final. Remember when it happened last time? I don't think we do remember that, because it was like when we were not alive. So I think he did extremely well, but I understand the fans. as well. You know?
And international football is different. Like it's very much like it's a different thing. Like it's a shorter and more intense period, and I think it's different. But listen, he's definitely got his qualities, but I don't think for the Man United job, no.
I don't Certainly, in know. terms of like, I think the scrutiny that he would get from the Man United job is not
Oh,
the
yeah.
same level of scrutiny that he got when he was in the England position. I almost feel like the media took it easy on Southgate an awful lot of the time, when he was in the England job, and kind of similar enough in the sense that we talked earlier about how Zidane had such a good team. Like he's had one of the best crop of English players
Oh, yeah.
we've seen in years, and so any manager in there, you would have thought they have to be making these semi-finals and finals, you
Well, we
know.
will see, because time will show. It may be true, but in the Belgium team, the golden generation also didn't win
True.
anything. So we
True.
will see, because I think it's about balance, in my opinion, right? It's you have to balance the team
Big time.
well. You have to your players need to respect you, and there has to be mutual trust and all that. But okay, who then, Brian? Who then? What's your idea of a new Man U manager?
It's a good question. It's actually it's come through on Sky Sports there. They're looking at the Sporting Lisbon manager Amorim. I'll be honest, I don't really know about. I know Liverpool were supposedly looking at him during the summer, but it's I kind of decided myself it was after the Tottenham game that he was done. I just felt that game just epitomized everything we were at. And I think I would rather Van Nistelrooy keep the job for the season and wait to find the right person. Who that person is, the short answer is I'm not sure. I'm not sure because it's tricky. You could look at someone maybe in the profile of like an Eddie Howe and look at how what he's done at Newcastle and see if he could build up from there. They could have gotten Tuchel. I think if they had acted sooner, they could have gotten him in. But or you could go for someone like Xavi. But again, the Zidane thing, would he work in another club? I don't know. But it's tricky. But the only thing I will say is that since Ineos took over, they've improved the background so much that I have to think that they've lined up someone who fits exactly what they want. So if they go for Amorim or whoever it is, you'd have to think that they'll meet the criteria of someone who's going to produce the football ultimately that we want to see.
Carl, is there anyone that you think might be the right fit for this huge club, Manchester United?
Someone that's available now, it's kind of hard to look around the world of football and see someone who's out of a job currently that would be able to slot in immediately. I know some people threw Nagelsmann's name out there, the German national manager, former Bayern manager. I personally thought they might have gone for someone like De Zerbi. I think that if they had pulled the trigger on Ten Hag in the summer, De Zerbi, I think, would have been a great kind of manager to bring in, because he seemed to galvanize that group of Brighton players that with a good mix of like you said, with the Rangnick kind of toughness, but then also with the arm around the shoulder, he kind of had that both elements to him. I think he's someone that they could have gotten, which obviously would have been a gamble because he's not as I suppose well stated as other names like Tuchel, but I agree, definitely Tuchel was a big one that they missed out on.
Yeah. You know what I will say, Brian? Whoever it will be, I hope for the sake of the league and for the reputation of the league that actually Manchester United get back to that top six, group, because I think we are all missing out, because good Manchester United team makes everyone else better. That's the way I see it. And this is hilarious. It's only hilarious for half a season or something, but then it's not good for anyone. So I sincerely hope you get someone good and then you fix this mess, get rid of the dead wood and all that. And also, of course, like we have Gary Neville who says, well, the real problem is the owners. So, Brian, do you actually, are you with Gary Neville on that? Or
I think we're moving in the right direction. He's definitely right. Like, I mean, if you actually look into what the Glazers have done, I mean, it's sickening, really. Like, I mean, they took over a profitable business and they just put all their debt into it and they sucked the money dry out of the club, which is terrible. And then every couple of years, they throw some money at it. So in a perfect world, yeah, they'd be gone. I don't think they'll ever be fully gone. I think they'll at least have, they might end up with maybe a 25% stake at some point, but yeah, they're not over the footballing decisions anymore, which is good. Jim Ratcliffe is definitely, he's a fan at least, and he's a pretty shrewd businessman. But yeah, no, the Glazers are, they're a toxic bunch. But I mean, the power's in their hands. I don't see them going anywhere because they're just making too much money. That's it. So,
well, that's what your fans always think. We want Glazers out. We want Glazers out. This is the most important chant I always hear when I watch some highlights of your games. Carl, yeah. Well, do you think from now on there are some good times for Man United ahead?
Absolutely. I mean, like, as Brian said, Ratcliffe is definitely a very shrewd businessman. I think any manager that walks in there now, I would hope anyway, for Man United's sake, that they would say no to some decisions that the manager wants, because I think that too many managers have gone in and, like Brian said, the Glazers have kind of thrown the money around and said, go on, you can spend that. But they need to have someone that'll say no to them and say,
so you mean they need a coach, not a manager?
Well, I think they need the structure there, and I think as Gary Neville has said, the structure has been put in place, and it's constantly evolving and changing. And but once they get that right, I think they'll have, from top to bottom, like I look at our situation with Arsenal, having Edu and the crew that Edu has, and they're the ones making the key transfer decisions. And obviously, Arteta has input because he has players that he likes the look of, and they'll work with that. But at the end of the day, they're the ones making the decisions. And I think that should have been left out of Erik ten Hag's hands, and any manager's hands, especially in the Man United job, given how big of a responsibility it is coaching the team, first and foremost, let alone all the other decisions that need to be made.
Fair enough. Okay, guys, I think we have come to an end of this wonderful chat about Manchester United. Thank you very much, Brian, for all your insight. And, you know, fair play to you, because it's not easy, you know, to get to get guests of teams who are not doing really well. It's always easier to, you know, when I invite people, they are always, oh, okay, my team is doing well. All right, yeah, I would like to be on the Footglitch podcast, sure. But when it comes to, you know, guests of the teams that are not doing particularly well, that's always something I admire and I respect. And thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. Great and horrible to talk about all the things that are bad, but nice to be here. Nice to be here.
I hope it's more great than horrible, but you know what?
Definitely.
This doesn't always have to be like this.
It's true, true.
And also, thanks to Carl, of course, your third appearance. Thank you so much as well.
Always happy. Thanks very much, Zdenek.
Take care, guys. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I'm going to be doing my job. I'm an English teacher, so I might as well have a look at the English language here, right? And this time, I'm going to take a look at a little excerpt from Carl's speech. We were basically speculating about who the new Manchester United manager should be, and this is what Carl said. I know some people threw Nagelsmann's name out there. The German national manager, former Bayern manager. I personally thought they might have gone for someone like De Zerbi. I think that if they had pulled the trigger on Ten Hag in summer, De Zerbi, I think, would have been a great manager to bring in. He seemed to galvanize that group of Brighton players that, with a good mix of like you said, with the Ragnik kind of toughness, but then also with the arm around the shoulder. Kind of have both elements to him. I think he's someone they could have gotten, which I think would have been a gamble. All right, well, there are a few words to look at, few phrases. First of all, I know some people threw Nagelsmann's name out there. So, you know what it means to throw. Like, you can throw a ball. The past tense is threw. But here, the meaning is sort of to suggest, to mention. So, some people suggested Nagelsmann's name, right? And I personally thought they might have gone for someone like De Zerbi. I think that if they had pulled the trigger on Ten Hag in summer, to pull the trigger, right? When you shoot, right, from a pistol, you have to pull the trigger to do it. And this phrase is also used when talking about firing someone, sacking someone. So if, let's say, a club owner pulls the trigger on the manager, they sack the manager. They make the manager redundant, right? So now Erik ten Hag has been sacked because the owners pulled the trigger on him, right? Okay, he seemed to galvanize. We are talking about De Zerbi, the Brighton manager. He seemed to galvanize that group of Brighton players. Interesting, the word to galvanize. And I think in this case, it kind of means to sort of motivate, right? To, how should I put this? Well, I'm looking at the definition online now. And it also says here to cause someone to suddenly take action. Yeah, kind of like to encourage, to motivate, to, you know, to make that person work hard, right? Make the team work hard. So if you galvanize the team, that means you have a really positive effect as the manager, right? And lastly, I think he's someone they could have gotten, which I think would have been a gamble. Gambling, you know what gambling is? Like when you play a lottery or betting on sports. A gamble, in this context, it means a risk. If something is a gamble, it's a risk. So if they had gotten De Zerbi, it would have been a risk. That's what Carl thinks. What do you think? Let me know in the comments on the Teacher Zdeněk YouTube channel or send me an email at thefootgrishpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. This podcast is available on that YouTube channel that I've just mentioned, but also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, really. Thank you very much. And I will speak to you soon. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.